And we're live. Nick Oliveri Show. I'm Nick Oliveri. Multiple time best-selling novelist, Ukrainian born, living in the United States at the current moment. And my apologies, I have not recorded nor have I released an episode in the last 3 weeks. And it's because for the last 10-11 days, I have been on a trip to Spain mainly, and a little side quest over to Palermo in Sicily in Italy. And I got to see some family there on my paternal side, my dad's side. It was awesome. Lovely trip. I have a lot to talk about today. It has to do with art, of course, culture, literature. First, I'm going to get into some pretext. A lot of people are saying the world's in shambles. A lot of people are saying, oh my God, there are boogeymen everywhere. I'm not going to get into my political beliefs right now, but a lot of people will say Putin's a boogeyman right now. Back in ancient Rome, Hannibal of Carthage was literally called the boogeyman. He was literally called the boogeyman, and he almost fell Rome single-handedly with some war elephants and an army of his own crossing the Alps in an unexpected way, and he basically, you know, went and surprise attacked Rome, for lack of a better term. So I'm not saying that the world is in a fantastic place. We have wars everywhere. It's awful. I hate war. War is hell. I never root for war. I always root for peace, for the most part. Unless, of course, you know, extenuating circumstances. But this is besides the point. I'm not here to talk about geopolitics. I'm not even here. Usually, I talk about publishers and the state of Hollywood and top down powers that dictate a lot of what we see and how they want us to feel. And by they, I mean the ruling class, the elites. So I'm gonna be referring to they a lot today, and I'm just gonna define they as the ruling elites, the people that control a lot of where the big money goes, how the central banks fund certain things and what they fund, okay? That's what I'm going to be talking about, not from a geopolitical standpoint, not even from a socioeconomic standpoint. This show is all about art, culture, literature, cinema, mainly art and culture. And on the Nick Oliveri Show, we talk about great art, great people, and the many things in between. Today, I got a fucking rant for you. I got a fucking rant, okay? Excuse me, but I need to go about this. The reason why I bring up my Spain and Italy trip, besides just my inability to record and publish from there, is in Spain, I got to go to the Prado, which is one of the top five most prestigious and most lauded museums or institutions of fine art in the world. It's up there with the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. It's up there with even the Louvre in Paris. I'm talking top three, top five of the most prestigious, most sought-after art institutions. I got to see Velázquez. I got to see Caravaggio in the flesh. I got to see, there was a whole room dedicated to Goya's black paintings. He's also one of my favorites. I got to see Picasso. I got to see his early work. I got to see his later work when he got into his 70s and 80s. I got to see his evolution. I got to see Dali. I got to see The Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch when he was telling stories through these things called triptychs, where he'd basically, you know, paint through three frames, and he told a story in Garden of Earthly Delights. If you don't know it, I'm not going to get into it, but look it up. It's fantastic. He was doing surrealism hundreds of years before Dali was doing it. Of course, it was in his own style, but my point here is, and I tell the Sagrada Familia, one of the most beautiful pieces of architecture I've ever seen. It actually brought me to tears. It brought me to tears. That was Antoni Gaudí, who spent over 40 years of his life designing, working on it, bringing in artists from all over the world, Japan, disparate places in Europe, you name it. He designed it, and it's, although he passed away, it's set apparently to be completed in 2026. What I'm getting at is I have a worldly I'm going to be talking about my subjective taste, but also objectivity. Okay? And if you don't agree with me, just know that there's a very good chance that I have a better rounded perspective of art, culture, cinema, especially literature, fine art, paintings, than you do, the listener. I'm not attacking you at all. I'm just letting you know the facts, that there's a very high likelihood that I have a much better and rounded perspective of knowledge and taste when it comes to these things. Fine art, fine literature, culture, beautiful things, cinema, storytelling, you name it. I got to see, like I said, Caravaggio, Velázquez, who was the royal painter of the Spanish high court, nobility, and royalty for a fairly long period of time. He has paintings that you would recognize. So look up Velázquez, V-E-L-A-S-Q-U-E-Z. And many, 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 many more. Raphael. I got to see Raphael. There's just a whole room of Raphael. His paintings are exquisite. They're some of the best you could ever do. As a painter, you can't get much better than Raphael. You simply can't. If you're painting in a classical, quasi-Renaissance style, you can't get better than Raphael. You can't. Raphael is unparalleled, besides possibly Michelangelo, who is one of the few world-renowned, history-renowned artists that I didn't get to see. Why am I bringing this up? My rant today. I don't usually just rant. I usually have a point, and I'm usually more measured. My rant today is being surrounded by all this fantastic and beautiful art, architecture, paintings, you name it. And after conversations with friends, and also after just seeing anecdotes throughout the last few years even, I've been vocal about my boycott of Disney. It has nothing to do with their politics, although I don't like how they push politics over the storytelling. If you want to send a message that's political, tell a good story. It's a great by the way, it's a fantastic. This is coming from a novelist, a best-selling one, who sells around the world. If you want to put a political message in, or just a theological message in, or however you want to get across a point or a theme, tell a good story first. Make it entertaining first. Make it beautiful. Make it great first. Make great art first, and then you can get your message across, because people are going to want to read it or watch it or look at it, etc. We lost that. They took it from us. Do you know some of the best movies ever made? Now I'm getting into my subjective, but also the objective standards that I'm purveying to you. Do you know when the best movies ever made were produced? It's not in a single decade, although there have been golden ages, peaks, but also valleys and kind of dark ages of cinema. And now I'll talk about cinema real quick. Well, the best movies ever made have not, none of them have come in the last 15 years. I record this in 2025, towards the end of summer, early September. None of them have come in the last 15 years. None. It's been filth. It's been garbage. We've been served garbage. Okay? And if I go on tangents, and you already can tell I'm passionate, it's because I am. It's because as an artist, I can't stand it. As a civilian, even if I weren't an artist, even if I weren't a novelist, even if I weren't a fashion designer, even if I wasn't an appreciator of art, if I just like kind of movies and shows, the general populace, you listening to this, downloading it and listening to this, can tell. I know you can tell. And if you want to deny it and say, this new show, oh my gosh, this new show like Split or whatever, or Severance or whatever, like, oh, it's really good, it's experimental. I'm not saying that everything's bad. I'm saying 99.999% of things produced are very poor. They're poorly written. They're poorly produced. And we, as a society, have the most resources we've ever had to create great art, to write great art, to write great stories, to put them on screen, to put them in books, to put them on canvas. And we don't do it. We can't do it. Or rather, we can, but we don't. And not only do we not do that, art is getting subverted. Art is getting ruined. Art is ruined. They took it from us. They took beauty from us. Dostoevsky, I can't quote him verbatim, but he had a philosophy that there's beauty that lies in truth, but there's also truth that lies in beauty. And when he says that, he's saying that beauty is not just subjective. We in our like postmodern neoliberal Western views of art and beauty say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That's not always true. It's not. That doesn't mean that there are great films produced or great books produced that some people revile. I'll bring up a very polarizing work, Lolita, one of my favorites. I'll bring up another very polarizing work, The Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway. I've already had multiple reviews. You can go back in my backlog in my archives of these episodes and go through some of the ratings and reviews that I've read for both books. Both books, which I deem they're both fantastic books. One's a novella, Old Man and the Sea. The other one's Lolita, a novel, a little longer, but still not a very long novel. Just very decadent and ornamental in prose. Okay, they took great art from us. Now I'm going to go to music. I haven't even talked about music. You know what my favorite genre is? Granted, I love rock. I love metal. I like grunge. I appreciate Alice in Chains and Nirvana all the way down to Black Sabbath, rest in peace Ozzy Osbourne, and up toward, you know, Metallica. Rage Against the Machine. I know that's late 90s, early 2000s, but Led Zeppelin, I think, is one of the greatest rock bands of all time. But my favorite genre, the genre that I was introduced to first, was hip-hop. And it was Jay-Z, and it was Kanye West, and it was Lil Wayne, and it was Eminem before he truly, truly, truly fell off. It was those guys. It was T.I. at the end of his career, when he, right before he stopped really making great music and bangers. Other artists like that. Hip-hop is my favorite genre. If you don't know, there's a magazine called the XXL Freshman Magazine. What it is it brings up artists who are coming up, who are gaining a lot of popularity, but are very new to the industry and are very new to, you know, music creation in general. The 2025 XXL freshman list is beyond parody. No one knows these people. They're all industry plants, and none of them have any talent. If you put a gun to my head and said, Nick, I'm going to take everything you have, everything you've ever done, and everything and everyone you love, and break your ribs and legs. If you don't come up with a better cipher and a better freestyle than any of these artists in the 2025 XXL freshman list, I would be able to do it. I would be able to do it. I'd put time and thought into it, and I'd be able to do it. No, I am not a rapper, and I am not a musician, but I am a tastemaker, and I do know how I do know how to write poems, which can absolutely be translated into lyrics, even hip-hop lyrics. My poetic experience that came out, a lot of people have said, you know, some of these poems sound more like hip-hop. Well, that's the musical genre that influenced me the most, and that's, in my opinion, the most poetic of genres when you look at lyrics and you look at some of the best hip-hop tracks and albums. Hip-hop is dead, and it's only being carried now. So hip-hop has always been a young man's game. You could say a young woman's game, too, because, like, Foxy Brown was fantastic. Lil' Kim had her little run, but I wasn't a big fan of her. But, like, Nicki Minaj's older stuff, Pink Friday, fantastic. Great album from Nicki Minaj. Lil Wayne, Drake, in the, you know, Lil Wayne from, like, 2003 with Carter 2 up to 2015, 2016, even 2018 when he released the Carter 5. Fantastic stuff. The recent projects we've gotten that are the most popular in hip-hop have been produced by people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. JID, who's in his mid-30s, Clips, who's a rap group, two brothers, Pusha T and his brother No Malice. They're in their 50s. Westside Gunn, another hip-hop artist I appreciate. He's in his mid-40s at least. Drake is now in his 30s. Kendrick is now in his 30s. What's going on? Because you might say, Nick, this is kind of trivial. No, it's not. Hip-hop used to be a young man's game. Nas, when he produced Illmatic, arguably one of the best and the most influential hip-hop album of all time, the most influential hip-hop project of all time, guess how old he was? Take a guess. I'll give you 5 seconds to just kind of guess and ponder how old he was when he produced one of the most influential projects in an entire genre which carries on today, albeit a dying genre, because they are stripping us of great art. They're subverting everything we've come to know and love. Everyone born after the, you know, or sorry, before the year, like maybe 2005, 2007, that's kind of the cutoff for me. Everything we've come to know and love, from the Nintendo 64 to the GameCube, I'll get into video games in a second, but Nas was 19 years old. Now, the biggest hip-hop albums, the best hip-hop albums, the best hip-hop albums are being produced by 30, 40, and 50-year-olds. It's no longer teenagers. It's no longer people in their early and mid-20s. 30, 40, and 50-year-olds. Mid-50s. Literally. Pusha T. Look his age up. They're taking everything away from us. What happened to Lord of the Rings? What happened to Lord of the Rings? Lord of the Rings came out while that trilogy was coming out before and while I was being born. Before I was, I think, 3 years old. The third of that trilogy came out. I think it's called Return of the King. It's one of the best trilogies of cinema ever. And do you know why? They took it seriously. Every single actor, the director Peter Jackson, who was a nobody at the time, they took the source material from Tolkien extremely seriously. They had Orlando Bloom, Viggo Mortensen, Elijah Wood, Andy Serkis, and more. Many, many more big names. Elizabeth Tyler. I'm so sorry if I forget her name, because she was also excellent in it. The cast was incredible. The acting was incredible. The scenes were unbelievable. Any sort of CGI that was ever put into that movie was perfectly placed. But they went to every extent to make it the best as possible. Where's our Lord of the Rings? That hasn't come out. The last fantasy / sci-fi thing, cinema, that was produced that was any good in my lifetime, I went to go see in theaters when I was 5 years old. 5 years old. With my dad. Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. Even that movie is heavily criticized to this day. But you know what? Disney went and bought the franchise, I want to say like 10, 11, 12 years ago. Do you see a trend here? Do you see a trend? Decade and a half ago, things got worse. Disney bought it. And now, guess what? That movie, a lot less criticized because people didn't know how well they had it. People didn't know how good they had it. They didn't know. Things have gotten worse. Everything has gotten worse. Hip-hop has gotten worse. Music has gotten worse. It's gotten more derivative. It's gotten even more watered down. You know who was one of the biggest acts, if not the biggest act in the 70s? Led Zeppelin. Go back and listen to any one of their albums. Listen to Physical Graffiti, which is a perfect album. Not just by rock standards, not just by blues standards, or rock blues, however you want to define them, by every standard, it's one of the greatest albums of all time. Listen to Led Zeppelin 4. Listen to just Led Zeppelin, their self-titled album. Go back and listen and tell me that we were not stripped of great art. And it wasn't in the 80s when we were stripped of it. Because you know what came out in the 80s? Great stuff. Great film, great literature, so many great everythings. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there weren't extremely derivative and, you know, 80s was the time of like hair metal and commercialism was getting more and more and more into our art and culture, but it wasn't being subverted. Mainstream art and even independent art, musicianship, cinema, everything, it wasn't, they weren't taking it from us. A lot of it may have been watered down by the 80s and even the 90s, but it wasn't taken from us. It's taken from us now. You know what else I love? Football. You know what some of my fondest memories I look back upon? And if I wasn't angry right now, and if it wasn't late, and if I was in a certain mood, I'd shed a tear, because some of my favorite memories from my past was in middle school and high school, when all of my buddies would gather in one of our basements or one of our living rooms. We'd all come together. We'd eat chips, Tostitos chips with buffalo chicken dip, and we'd watch Scott Hansen for 8 hours of commercial-free football. Well, ESPN bought the rights. Guess who ESPN is owned by? I'll give you 5 seconds. I'll give you 5 seconds to guess. 5 seconds. ESPN's owned by Disney. Now, it's 8 hours of commercial-filled football. What happened to my commercial-free football? And no, I'm not bitching and moaning. I'm asking what happened to it. I'm asking what happened to being able to watch a video while also knowing that impressionable 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids are watching the same videos that I'm watching about sports or pop culture and commentary. They don't watch a lot of the literature and philosophy things that I do. Maybe, maybe not. But why can't I get YouTube ads that are not alcohol and gambling? In the NFL, it's only gambling. It's only alcohol. It's just vices. It's just greed. It's just awful. Okay? I'll get off the NFL for a second, but it's a symptom. Where's our Lord of the Rings? Where's our commercial-free football? Where's The Dark Knight? The Dark Knight came out in 2008. Where's our Godfather? Where's our pop cultural moment where we can sit back and say, man, that's beautiful art? Because the kids today, and even the 20-somethings today, they don't have that. They don't have that. Even people in their early 30s, they can barely remember things like Lord of the Rings and these big pop cultural events that were beautiful art. It wasn't just about big pop culture events. It was these big things, these works of art, cinema, literature, you name it. Sports, even, which has now been bastardized. Basketball is ruined by the freaking three-pointer. And so much more. Fouling. Everything's soft now. The players are pampered now because of the generation that plowed the way through and played tough, played the right way, and brought the league to where it was. So now these players can get paid, I kid you not, $200 million just over a couple-year contract just so they can weep and moan and gnash their teeth all the way to hell. They're going to hell. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do, but they're soft and pampered pieces of you-know-what because of the people like Larry Bird and Magic and Michael and Stockton and Malone and Gary Payton, and even going back to Bill Russell and Cousy and Kareem and Duncan and David Robinson and Kobe. They all paved the way. They had a mindset that was competitive. And guess what that mindset brought? A better product. Sports, I put under entertainment. And under entertainment, I put art. I put culture. Our art has been taken from us. Where is our Lord of the Rings? Where is our Revenge of the Sith? That came out in 2005. Disney just re-released it like a year, two, or three ago. Because they don't have anything better, because they don't want to make anything better. They can't make anything better. It's just a cash grab. They don't want to make anything better because they're subverting everything. Okay? We don't know beauty nowadays. I walk into bookstores still all the time. I walk up to random books, I flip to a random page, and most of the time it's the same thing, which is a woman complaining about men or talking about cheating on their spouses or their boyfriends or how they beat the shit out of a guy or shot them up. This literally happened to me a couple weeks ago. I was in Scottsdale, walked into an independent bookstore, and picked up a random book. It looked very interesting. The premise looked really interesting. It was this cool, like, mystery thriller. Opened up to a random page. I could only get through half of the page because it was two women in a car, and one of the women said, you could have taken it easy on those guys. And the other woman said, oh, you know men with their guns. It was either us or them, and we kicked their butts. I'm not quoting it directly, but I'm paraphrasing it. And by the way, the author is so forgettable, his career is going to be gone in a flash because all he's doing is following trends and bowing down and bending his knee. Speaking of bending the knee, you can say how silly it is because it is a little bit of a cartoonish, caricaturesque movie, but 300. Remember? Do you remember when King Leonidas was promised by Xerxes to have all the wealth in the world? And Xerxes, the god king, they called him, said, just bend the knee, Leonidas, and the world will be yours. And Leonidas, in this cheeky tone, said, oh, I would, but, you know, I'm not one for bending the knee. You know, it kind of hurts my back, and got this bad knee, and I don't really feel like doing it. And that was his way of saying, F you, Xerxes, because Xerxes now, it reincarnate, has taken beauty from the world, from literature. Now, quote, popular literature is littered with crap. It's littered with crap. Utter garbage. Our literature sucks. Our literature is only agenda. Look, if you, like I said earlier, if you want to put an agenda in your book, especially if it's a novel, if it's a movie, make it a good story. If it's not a good story, and by the way, I'm not the only one to say this. There are millions upon millions of people just on the internet. Nonetheless, the millions and millions of people who aren't more engaged in public discourse on cinema and literature, who think the same way I do. What happened to No Country for Old Men? What happened to Let There Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis? Where's Our Dark Knight? That came out in 2008 of July. I was 8 years old. I also saw that in theaters. And guess who I saw it with? With my father. Incredibly violent and dark movie. Probably shouldn't have seen it when I was 8 years old. It was, but that's a different story. One of the best movies ever made. Easy. One of the best movies ever made. It might not be your genre, you might not like it, but it is one of the best movies ever made. It is. Where's our Fight Club? Where's our Taxi Driver? Where's our Goodfellas? Where are they? What happened? What happened? What went wrong? They took it from us. They took the beauty. The XXL freshman list in hip-hop now is beyond parody. This is purposefully subversive stuff. Garbage. Slop. Heaps and spadefuls of worthless, silty, unrelenting mud being slung in our faces, and the powers that be are saying, eat it. And you know why? Because if we continue to stoop and sloop to that standard, and we eat that mud and we take it, then guess what we're going to get? More mud that's even dirtier and even more difficult to swallow, more difficult to see through, more difficult to grow things from. I'm sick of it. And if I have to take it on by myself, then put the fourth Romani nail in my chest. Kill me. but only over my dead body. And then even after that, I'll die a martyr because I'm going to bring great art back. And I'm doing so right now. I've already done so. I'm working on my best project so far. I'm 93,000 words through. It is my masterwork to this day. Not released. Probably won't be released till next year. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care how many more hours I have to put in. I will put in every single drop of sweat and blood, my own tears, my own elation, my own experiences, and every single bit of my cognition into this to fight, to bring my gifts to the forefront. No matter what the powers that be, no matter what they say and are trying to push onto us as good. By the way, let's go to superhero movies. You know what else I saw in theaters? Iron Man 3. I saw it with one of my best buddies, who's still one of my best buddies to this day. And you know who took me to see that movie? My beloved father. Okay? I loved Iron Man 3. Tony Stark was the freaking coolest. Gwyneth Paltrow, by the way, super hot. Her name was Pepper in the movie. The story, cool. The Iron Man suit, super cool. Now, granted, I was like maybe 10 years old, but still, super cool, man. It was awesome. It was an awesome movie. It was entertaining. It didn't subvert anything. It didn't subvert our culture, our society. It just told an awesome story about a really cool protagonist who, by the way, was very flawed and found ways to get over his ego. And it was just a great story. And by the way, here's some hope. Okay, here's some hope. Humans have an innate ability. Every single person listening to this or not listening to this, whoever and wherever you are and whenever you're listening to this, you yourself have an innate ability to know what a good story is in whatever form that story takes. Even if it's a comedy or a drama or a space opera like Star Wars, whatever you want to make it. A romance, rom-com, you name it. You know what a good story is. You know what makes you feel. You know what makes you laugh. You know what makes you cry. You know what tugs on your heartstrings. Braveheart. Where is Braveheart nowadays? Where is Braveheart? Where is that speech? And by the way, go back into my archives. I also have an episode that's partially devoted to Braveheart and the speech that William Wallace gives to the Scots, who are outnumbered, outgunned, outmanned. They have inferior weaponry. And you know what William Wallace says to them as they're about to quit and run away? And they laughed at William Wallace because they didn't think he was William Wallace. William Wallace was just a legend in their minds, some Scottish hero of myth. But no, he stood before them and he said this. He said, "Run from the English, and you may live, for a while anyway, but fight, and you may die, but what would you give to show the English that they can take your lives, but they cannot take your freedom?" You know what happened to superhero movies? Most of them are produced by Marvel. The biggest budget ones are produced by Marvel. And oh boy, guess who owns Marvel? I'm going to give you 10 seconds to guess who owns Marvel. Most of you listening to this probably already know it. And you're going to see a pattern with me. And in this episode here, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Guess who owns Marvel? Go. Da-na-na, Jeopardy. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, time's up. It's Disney. Disney owns Marvel. It's all gone. It's all subverted. But not yet. It doesn't have to be. It's gone right now. It's through our hands. But it doesn't have to be. It's not just me who holds the power. I hold a lot of it. But it's also up to you. You don't have to watch this garbage. You don't have to pay your valuable time and attention. You don't have to pay your valuable money for these streaming services. Disney Plus, I'm looking at you. Netflix, I'm looking at you. You can. But tiny sacrifices at a time. Whether you are a creator, an artist, or whatever yourself, a designer yourself, a filmographer, videographer yourself, or you're just an artist, novelist, musician, you name it. Fight back. Make something beautiful. Show the world. Show these Gen Z and Gen Alpha beauty again. Show them beauty. Because where the hell is our Lord of the Rings? I don't say that to be specific to Lord of the Rings. I'm saying, where are the movies and the trilogies that take source material seriously? Where are the movies that don't factor in political agendas or DEI unless there's a good story? The cast is the cast. If they're the right people for the role, then great. I'm not going on a tirade against DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, whatever the hell that means. I'm not going on a crusade this episode against that. What I'm going on a crusade against is, where's our Lord of the Rings? Where's our Star Wars that we grew up to know and love? Where's our Luke Skywalker? He was killed a long time ago, and not just literally and figuratively by Disney. And their abomination that they now call Star Wars. Abomination! Abomination! It's an abomination. It is abhorrent. It is hellish. It is evil. It is satanic. It is a sacrifice to Moloch. Because right now they're feeding our children, our young, our youth, subversive, perverted excuses for art, for cinema, for novels, for books, all alike, for paintings, for songs and music. But it doesn't all have to be gone. Even though it is right now, there is hope. My call to action to you is, if you're not an artist, creator, musician, novelist, storyteller, videographer, director, actor, you name it, if you're not one of those people who create, if you're a consumer of art and work maybe a different job or don't work at the moment or in general, don't choose to consume this. Speak out. Not just ignore it, but speak out. Tell everyone how horrible it is. The Minecraft movie made $1 billion. All it is is an advertisement for Minecraft. By the way, very clever business decision. If we're talking about that, I gotta commend Microsoft and Minecraft and the rest of the people who made that. They came up with an advertisement which was distributed globally with Jack Black and what's that guy? Jason Momoa and that black woman who no one knows, and the rest of the cast who no one knows. Those kids who no one knows. But Jack Black and Jason Momoa and all that CGI, which by the way sucks and looks terrible. The plot was mediocre. I'm not going to say it was abhorrent, but mediocre. And cleverly enough, yeah, that Minecraft movie, which came out like, I don't know, 6 months ago or so, give or take, 3 months, 6 months ago, whatever. It was brilliant business move because they actually had a globally disseminated advertisement which made them money rather than cost them money. Brilliant. Brilliant business move. But if they want to pass that along as cinema, as art, it's disgusting. Where is our beauty? Where is our great American novel? Because we keep reading over and over and over The Great Gatsby about the Gilded Age. That was 100 years ago. Wherever you're listening to this, whenever you're listening to this, The Great Gatsby was over 100 years ago. Just about. Where's our great American novel? Or just where's our great novel? Why is it not being pushed to us? There's got to be great movies independent. There's got to be great literature independent or otherwise out there, but it's not being pushed. BS is being pushed. The Spadefuls of Mud and excrement are being boiled and served to us as if it's a nice sausage and kale soup. It's not. It's poop. It's excrement. It's shit. And I'm here to say no. I'm here to say that's evil. It's satanic. It's subversive. And they're feeding us, the adults, the older adults, the younger ones, and more importantly, our children, slop, so that they can get used to the slop, so they can imbibe the agendas, the very thinly veiled, if not veiled at all, naked agendas of the filth that is pushed. If I sound negative, it's because I am. If I sound harsh, it's because I am. If I sound angry, it's because I am. Our art is being lost, our beautiful art. I just went to the Prado last week. I just went to the Museo de Montserrat, the Montserrat Museum of Art. I saw some of the greatest and most prominent artists, their works in the flesh, painted as they are. A lot of them restored, some of them not. We lost it. We lost it. But just because we live in a postmodern age with da-da-da-da-da AI and no one has any time and no one has any attention span does not mean that we can't go back and reintroduce the world to beauty, because that's what I'm going to do. And if I'm the only one in the world to do it, then I'm going to do it and you're going to see it. You already can go and buy it. You can download it for Kindle. You can continue to buy. The Conjurer came out, and sure, it has a message, and sure, it has a theme, but it's not thinly veiled. It's an extended allegory, sure. It's a metaphor, sure. The Conjurer, I'm talking about, my debut. But people come to their own conclusions when they read that, and that's what I love. That's what great art can be. It's just an entertaining story that people don't want to look away from or don't want to put down. I don't really have much more to say right now and tonight. I'm recording this late, but shame. Shameful. Fight back. If you're a consumer, fight back. Speak out. If you're an artist, fight back. Make good things. Make good art. Make great art. Make good art, as Neil Gaiman said in that one commencement speech for that school I forgot he gave it to. So let me end it on a positive note, which is the call to action that I've been giving you. Fight back, because it is a fight. If you're not a spiritual person, okay, fine. I think it's spiritual warfare, but you don't have to take it as such. Maybe it's just culture warfare, but it is a war against beauty. All humans love beauty. All humans innately love great stories. And we all know, you know, listening to this, what great art is and what beauty is. Now, it's not always objective through and through. There are people that do not care for or would never watch Star Wars on their own, or Lord of the Rings, or The Godfather, or The Dark Knight, or Dodgeball, or a lot of Will Ferrell's best movies, which, by the way, haven't come out for 15 years. Or Grown Ups, Talladega Nights, No Country for Old Men. Go down the line. We don't have it anymore. It's not being made anymore because they're taking it from us. They ripped it away. But on a positive note, to end it here, we can do something about it. Something can and will be done. I'm working on it right now. I already have beauty in my bibliography for books that you can get. No, I'm not plugging them. I'm telling you that I'm not just talking the talk, I'm walking the walk. If you want to read beauty, if you want to be entertained, if you want to learn and expand your mind, but also just be fully entertained, I have some literature like Monsters of My Mind, which is my best-selling, my most polarizing, my most transgressive, but in my opinion, my most beautiful. I got The Conjurer out there and the whole Conjurer 4-book series. Just, I walk the walk. I put in all the effort I can. In my upcoming work, yes, I have a working title for it. I don't have a finished title for it. It's still going on. It's my WIP. It's my work in progress. But I walk the walk too. And I implore you to do the same. I love you. I have compassion for you. And I'm on the road to forgiveness. But being forgiving and compassionate does not mean you can't fight. In fact, I would argue, if you are merciful to the unjust, you are being cruel and even violent to the just of this world. You can do something. Please do, in your own way, because we're all unique, we're all individuals. Go do something. Realize how bad, how poorly the video games are being made today. There's a whole movement out there for gamers and casuals alike called Stop Killing Games. They're taking it away from us. Don't let them. One step at a time, don't let them. You have power too. You do. Thank you for listening as always. Gonna have some links in the bio. I'm Nick Oliveri. Nick Oliveri. Appreciate it.